Show me the meaning of service workers. Is this a new thing I need to work with? Tell me why I can't be as fast without that. I need an SSL cert stat. Welcome to Tuesday, a podcast about tech, tools, tips, and tricks on Tuesdays at 2. I'm your co-host, Yuna.
And I'm Chris.
And today we're talking about service workers.
Okay, real quick, the really impressive thing about these songs is that Yuna makes them about 50 seconds before she sings them. I'm just like, what is happening?
Start singing into the mic, like, random lyrics. I'm just like, wait, hold on, Chris. Hold on, I got this. That's exactly how it goes.
That's exactly how it went. I was like, what?
Started singing random lyrics. Like, what rhymes with workers?
What rhymes with workers?
If you need any lyrical tools, tips, or tricks, you know.
The song is actually about songwriting now. It's designer. Not about tools.
So today's show, it's going to be a little interesting because I don't have a lot of experience with service workers. I have a general idea about what they are, but I've never used them personally on a website. And Chris has been digging into them for a project of his own. So we're going to sort of get down to the basics of what the heck are service workers. And Chris will be explaining all of those things to us in this episode.
As I figured out myself.
We're all learning.
So it's an exciting time of, you learn faster when you teach something, right? So that's the policy I'm going by with right now.
It's an exciting time on the web. Service workers, the first time I heard of them was through Jake Archibald, who we also mentioned in our last show. Our last show was about offline web tools. And so we sort of talked about service workers a little bit in that show, but we're going to focus more on them during this show. So a lot of resources about service workers come from Google, as they're implementing them, so they're pushing them forward. Yep. They want them to be faster.
And Jake Archibald is a Google dev relations guy.
Yeah, and he's great. Parody. He puts out great blog posts, does awesome talks. We'll include some of those in the show notes. So you too can dig deeper into this and learn about them as we do. Yay!
Right. So let's dive in. So what are service workers? So service workers have been described a variety of different ways, all of them more complicated than the next. But the easiest way that I can explain them is that they are a layer in between your web application and the network. So you have the browser, which is your web app, workers in between, and then the network. And we talked about them last week because they're an effective way of delivering offline experiences, but they're also an effective way of delivering a variety of other things that are important. One, just performance because you cache the assets, and two, because you work separate from the browser but kind of alongside, you now have these kind of cool things like, you know, push notifications, you have geofencing, you have background synchronization. And all these things are things that service workers and the new API built around them are providing for you.
Okay, so I think I'm a little bit confused because that's a great explanation. But to me, certain aspects like geolocation and use of camera, those are all web API native.
Yep.
So where do service workers fit into that scheme?
Sure. So service workers... it's essentially something that lets you hook into these APIs and actually use them effectively, right? So if you want to run background synchronization, for example, right, you need something that's running separate from your actual app for this to work, right? It needs to be running either prior or before or whatever, right? And so what server workers let you do is that they let you intercept these requests. So whenever you have a request to the network, it's a fetch request, right? So, you know, your images do a fetch, your JS does a fetch, your CSS does a fetch. You can say, okay, I see a fetch is happening. Let me stop that and say, I'm going to do something else, or I'm going to do an action on it.
So you can use service workers outside of your web page. That's the idea. The idea is that there are these bits of code working for you when you're not actually actively on the page itself.
Right.
Okay, I think that's like the best
one. Or also on the page itself, but
or on the page. Well, yeah. I'm reading somewhere that you don't even have to like have the browser open, you know, to use.
Yeah. So right. So there's kind of a this interesting life cycle for the service worker. The very first time you hit the page, a service worker has an install phase. Right. You register the service worker and installs. I'm making air quotes in the air. But you can't see them.
I can see them.
You can see them, but you can't. It registers and it has an install step. In this step, the browser now knows there's a service worker here, and it's in charge of these pages.
So the first time you go to the page, you register your service worker, and then from then on, your service worker is active. It has employed. It has been deployed to duty.
It's been employed. It has a job now. And so, after it's been employed or deployed, it's sitting there idle. It doesn't do anything per se. This is kind of different than the first version of this offline slash proxy layer thing called AppCache, which we talked about last time as well, where AppCache automatically did things for you. Service Workers does nothing for you right off the bat. It just sits there like, hey, when you need me, I'm here to help.
Because service workers have way more functionality than just AppCache.
Right.
And AppCache is also terrible to work with.
Yes. I personally have not worked too deeply with AppCache. I think I explored it once. I turned it on. I broke everything. And then I bend it and never went back.
Well, that's the problem. When you break everything with AppCache set up, you can't fix it because it's cached.
Yeah. So
you have to go and do hard resets. So
good times with that.
Aside, service workers solve this problem.
Right. And as another side, Yunus sang about HTTPS because for service workers, you must be on HTTPS for this to actually work. The issue is that service workers are really powerful, and if you're not on a secure network, who knows what you could do with it. So HTTPS is required.
Yeah, I just set up HTTPS for my GitHub Pages sites, which my blog is hosted on, fun fact, through a service called CloudSec with a K, K-L-O-U-D-S-E-C, and it uses, I think, Cert Simple to sort of set up like an easy dashboard for you to apply SSL certificates. It's kind of clumsy to work with right now. It's like a new service, brand new service. Like I got an email about it a few weeks ago. They're like, hey, do you want to try this out? And so I finally got around to it. But it is free, and it's a lot easier to use than setting up SSL by yourself and then going into GitHub and setting that up. So cloudsec.com, we'll link it in this episode, because then you can start to use fun things like service workers and also any of the web API things like camera, for example, requires
HTTPS. You just did. It's her, /css.grams. You can now take a photo of yourself.
And get all and the filters.
Grammit. filter it. So not grammit. I'm using the wrong word.
Yeah.
That's how with the lingo I am.
Yeah. So well. This is all very much, we are telling you as much as we know as we are learning these things.
I think it's an interesting part of new tech. Service workers are not brand new. They came around about 2 years ago, I think, but they're only now hitting general viability, I believe.
So you kind of need to configure flags for all the demos that you probably want to use service workers with.
Right.
At least that's what MDN says.
So I think for browser support for service workers, Chrome has support, obviously. And I think Firefox is behind a flag and Safari is behind a flag. Let me double check that.
I've got this up. So Chrome 40 and up, Firefox 33. No Internet Explorer support, Opera 24, and no Safari WebKit support. So you can't really use this on your phone if you're trying to make a native app type experience.
Unless you're on Android. Unless you're on Chrome. Because Android runs Chrome. Look at that, Chrome for Android. Support for service workers. Thank you, Chrome.
Yeah, Android for life. As far as apps go, you can't just put this on a mobile app type experience and expect it to work because most people who have iPhones are on Safari as their default.
Yes, but for those who are not, way to go. Even if you do have Chrome on Safari, or sorry, Chrome on iOS, it actually still uses the Safari WebView engine. It's kind of this on for some reason, little known secret that Chrome on iOS is basically just Safari with a Chrome layer on top of it, or Chrome like UI, and some sync things. So, anyways, I have strong opinions about iOS versus Android, which we won't talk about.
Which we will talk about all the time.
We will talk about.
I'm looking at the syntax right now, and it's really not that bad.
It's not bad at all.
This add event listener, which is super native, and then you use fetch, which, you know, we were just talking about fetch requests. That's how you get assets on the web.
Yep.
And then this like event at respond with, kind of pretty much in basic English. I can read this and understand it without ever having used them.
Yeah, I feel if you feel comfortable JavaScript, the API is straightforward. You say navigator.surfworker.register.
Event at wait name, until, okay.
And then something else. So if you're so service workers take or use a heavy amount of ES6 promises.
Yes, I see that.
So if you're not familiar with the promise syntax, I can see how this could be confusing. But I think more and more people are starting to use promises. You know, once everyone hopped onto the Webpack, Babel, Transpile, and Train, ES6 became more prevalent, and then so did ES6 promises. So the syntax is just super clean, we'll link some of these tutorials and video and articles, but I think once you read them and try it out once, it's not too bad.
So okay, once we're employed, right?
Yeah.
What are some things that we can do with service workers? Like, what are some things, ideas to try out?
Yeah. Okay. So the first thing we've been talking about over and over again this week and last week is cache your assets, because this is such a nice big performance gain. Mm-hmm. It's not even just offline, it's just general performance. If someone does not have to go and do a network request to get your JavaScript, to get your CSS, your images, that's such a big performance win. That's most of the time spent in a good chunk of everyone's apps. I think the second thing that people want to talk about is push notifications. This is a bit more complicated issue because every different provider uses a different push service, more or less. To go deeper in that, if you want to push to like a Chrome service, you have to push to this thing called Google Cloud Messaging System, right? And there's an equivalent one for iOS.
Do you have to have anything additional installed on your system, or does that come with Chrome?
No, it comes with, so you have to register with Google Cloud Messaging essentially, and then you get an API and you link to that API, more or less. It's kind of like using any other API that you may have used before, but now it lets you push notifications.
So say I wanted to create a web app where I use the geolocation, like we mentioned earlier, and have it send a push notification when I entered like a certain spot on the map. Yep. Service workers can do that for me.
Yes. So push notifications are tricky because this is why I'm kind of stumbling around here. It's because there's a push API and a notification API that is called the Open Web API. And so hypothetically speaking, one day you'll be able to use this. However, browser support is very, very minimal, right?
A lot of this is very experimental.
So a lot of this is all experimental, right? And so you have to do these things, workarounds. And so
if you can just push people's phones, that would really surprise me. I feel like, of course, you have to allow that as a user.
Right. So it's the same thing. So when once you load the page, you'll say, hey, this application, web app, is requesting certain notification permissions. And you have to say yes or no, and then if you get permissions, then you can keep on going. I think you'll see, like, you might see with Facebook. Facebook does this actually. Mm-hmm. On your phone, if you access the Facebook Messenger mobile website versus just the app itself, they use these push notifications via the browser.
Okay,
so cool. You can kind of see it that way.
And you can also fetch like, you know, messages, and so when you go back to your application, it's already in there for you. That's cool. So there's one idea. You know, we could send messages to everyone if they have the correct browser.
Yeah, it's kind of a tricky thing because, like, you know, you want this is such a cool piece of technology, but it's so scoped to this the latest and greatest browsers. It's kind of hard.
It's really quickly becoming very ubiquitous. It just takes time to implement.
So like, that's kind of the thing. So do you spend time making this really cool feature for a small subset of your users, or do you spend time doing other things? Yeah, that's kind of a prevailing thought in my brain right now.
Another cool thing that Google is doing lately, not really super related, but kind of, is this whole physical web idea. I'm not sure if y'all have been following that, but it's something that I've been pretty interested in. And physical web is basically this idea that objects speak to you. So instead of the web being entered through a URL bar at the top of your screen on a computer or a mobile device, you can walk by a poster and the poster will ping you and then you will get a notification. I'm saying that in air quotes. And then open the site from there. So you're kind of opening this website from a physical object. You're entering the web from the world around you. And I think that's really cool. That's definitely what the future of the web is going to be to me.
That's very Minority Report right there.
Well, that's the thing right now. This exists. You can get a beacon. I got some beacons, and I carry them around with me with my like site on it. No one has ever... Actually, one person has found it through like iBeacon technology. Just like
really?
Yeah. I'm like, whoa, what? But
this is the future.
Yeah, if you have Chrome on your mobile device and you enable this feature, it's in your what's it called? Like toolbar. Like if you slide down from the top, your phone's whatever initial bar thing. I'm trying to
Choke the notification bar.
Yeah, your notification bar menu. Overlay. So inside of that, you have a Chrome tab, and inside of that, you'll get all of the pings. So it doesn't like affect your phone. Your phone doesn't start buzzing when you walk by the poster. But I think that's the eventual idea of this. It's called the physical web, and I think it's really cool. Like you can learn about products, you can learn about menus. You know, you walk by a restaurant, you don't have to like stop. Google the restaurant name, try to find the right one, find the right location. You could just open the menu as you walk by. Or like if you're in a street, decide where you want to eat. What place has the best cocktails?
You know, Google right now already does this for Android phones. If I sit down at a restaurant, I can open my phone, swipe to the left to Google Now, and it will say, hey, I see you're in this restaurant. Here's the menu. And... it's pretty amazing. Google Now is great.
All right, Google Now. What other web workers things? That was like a little aside about physical web, but we'll also add a link about that. I remember to write this down.
So for me, I'm still exploring the different use cases. The one I was using for is again caching and for background sync. Caching and push notifications. Background sync is something else I've been looking into. It's this concept where, you know, while you're away from the app can go ahead and say, hey, I'm going to go grab some data from the network, store my cache, and then when you hit my application, I'll serve to you this data from the cache that I've already got from the network. So it saves you a round trip request when you actually use the app. This is also
awesome.
Another brand. Yeah, it's another brand new web API. So it is a native web API, background sync APIs.
Okay, so I'm like kind of reading through the documentation right now. Experimental. I love this. It's like this part needs to be updated. Like literally it says that in the spec. But I'm also seeing these cross-origin request errors, which are kind of like worrisome to me. But, you know, it's an experimental technology. It's definitely going to be much more prevalent in the future. And it provides so many benefits, really making web apps possible. So I think you should go and play around with it. If you have HTTPS, get your HTTPS certs.
Although, real quick, you can actually test this out locally fine. Service workers exempt local hosts from their... blacklist. So development.
Yeah, but
fine.
If you're trying to like use this IRL, you know, with caching and geolocation, you need to put it up on something.
Yep.
So, yeah. Anything to add?
No, that's about it for me.
I think I understand service workers a lot better. I think I'm just as terrified as I was before.
Yep. Same.
But yeah, I kind of want to play around with these. They seem cool. They're not just for offline web. There's a lot that can be done with your little employees.
Thumbs up.
All right. Thank you for the explanation, Chris. That was great. We are soon doing a show with your top tech tools, probably like your hipster tech tools, so things that you don't think a lot of people use but should know about. So just send us a DM or a tweet at Toolsday at TOOLSDAY with your favorite lesser known tech tools, and we'd love to give you a shout out on the show. Also, rate us on iTunes if and only if you like the show. leave a comment. We love to read those. Like, seriously, they warm our hearts. If you want to. But if you have a tech tool, definitely send that. That's not optional. That's, you know, required. Yeah. So that's all we have for this week. And we'll see you next week. Bye, y'all.